I got a question. Have any of you ever been on a sailboat? Yeah, I have. Unfortunately, the only time it was tied to the dock. Never really been sailing, but I think it would be thrilling to do that. But I have something here, very short. It says here, a ship was sailing in the middle of the ocean. A storm was developing in the distance. As the storm raged, the captain realized the ship was sinking fast. He called out loud, "Anyone here knows how to pray?" A man proudly raised his hand and came forward. "Aye, Captain, I know how to pray." The captain replied, "Great, you keep praying while the rest of us put our life jackets on. We're one short." I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Sailing, that was the main way of transporting goods for thousands of years, for transporting people. Yes, you could go overland to, certain places and everything, but sailing was the way to really engage in commerce and travel. And for thousands of years, that was it, sailing. Of course, until the time that the steamboat was invented, I think that was in the 1800s. So from time immemorial, up until then, that was it, sailing. Small boats, big boats, didn't make any difference. But that was it. But it was kind of hazardous in some respects, because people didn't really have good weather forecasts then. I don't know that they have good ones now either, but back then, you didn't have anything. You looked at the sky and said, "Well, I think it looks okay, Maybe tomorrow will be good for sailing or whatever." But you never knew when a storm would crop up. And you were so dependent on the wind to drive the ship to wherever you needed to go. And they were, shipping lanes that were established, because people learned where the winds blew best. But there were also places where it hardly blew at all, like around the equator. And there was an old term for that called the doldrums. And we think of that as, if you're in the doldrums, you're kind of down, depressed, whatever. There was hardly any wind along the equator, just a little bit to the north and south of it. But further north and further south, they had the trade winds. And that was where the ships always went to take their wares from one place to another. But it was, like I said, very hazardous at times. And we read about that in the book of Acts, when Paul was being transported to Rome, how they were transporting him by ship, and they had a number of different ships that they had to transfer to, make connections, so to speak, similar to like air travel. But it was getting late in the season, and they didn't sail in the winter, because that was the time of dangerous storms and everything. And it really got to the point where Paul was concerned and tried to warn them, but they didn't listen. So eventually he was shipwrecked. Fortunately, everybody was saved. But the point is, it was a hazardous thing to go sailing. And the thing that you really needed was the wind. As long as the wind blew reasonably well, you were okay. But there's kind of a spiritual parallel to that, in a way. You can put the parallel to the wind is the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who was born of the Spirit. The Spirit takes us where he wishes us to go." We don't always realize it. We think we're making the choices and the decisions. And in some respects, yes, we are. And out of ignorance, don't know whether or not we're in keeping with the Lord's will. But even if we're not, we make a wrong decision. He can still maneuver us to get us to where he wants us to go. So the Spirit, in a sense, is the wind that blows us to our destination. Next. This is from Acts, and I'm sure you're all familiar with this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's another reference to wind and the Holy Spirit. The sound of a mighty rushing wind, and that's how the Holy Spirit came into that room, as a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire stood upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know this, but there's a song, and it might even be a hymn. I don't know who wrote it or when it was written. But the first words of it, "I feel the winds of God today. Today my sail I lift." And if you search for it on the internet, you can actually hear people sing it. It's an interesting song. "But I feel the winds of God today, and today my sail I lift." It's important for us to catch those winds of the Holy Spirit, to lift our sails, so to speak, to catch that wind, because the Holy Spirit is on the move throughout the world. We don't always recognize it. But this song helps us to understand that not only is the Holy Spirit on the move, but we have an obligation, a responsibility to lift our sails to catch that wind. Well, how do we do that? How do we lift our sails to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit? Well, first off, we need to be prepared. If you're not prepared, going to miss the plane, miss the boat, miss the train, whatever, miss the Holy Spirit. The first thing is, you notice in that song, it says, "I feel the winds of God today." Do you feel the winds? Do you see the winds? Do you see the Holy Spirit working in your life or in the lives of others or in the community, in the world? It's hard sometimes to see, because of all the negative stuff that's going on. But you can feel the winds of the Holy Spirit. You can see the effects. I can't see the wind blowing, but I see the effect of it. I can't see air. I know it's there because I breathe it in, but I can't see it. But when the air becomes wind and blows, I can see the effects of it. So it's like Candy was saying in her devotional, "I need to have my antenna up." And it's amazing how the Lord ties things in, because you didn't know what I was going to talk about. We need to have our antennas up to feel the wind, to see it. And once we do see it, then we need to have that desire in us to experience it, to be part of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And likewise, we must voice that desire to the Lord. Lord, I see what you're doing. I see what your Spirit is doing, how he's moving. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. And we need to be open, to be willing. We don't know where the Spirit will take us. Just like Abraham didn't know where he was going, where the Lord, through his Spirit, was leading him. But he said, okay, I'll go, because I trust you. You'll get me there, wherever it is. So we must be open. It's not enough just to see the Holy Spirit moving. It's not enough to just desire to be a part of it, of what's happening, and to be used of God in a special way. But it's important that we be willing, without knowing what's going to come about, or what the results will be, or how it's going to impact us, just to be willing to say, yes, Lord, here am I, use me, send me. That's a hard thing sometimes, to let completely go and just say, okay, Lord. And you have no idea where that next step is going to lead you. Yet the Word encourages us to be ready, to be prepared, to be instant, in season and out of season. So we too must be ready. Because the Lord has a purpose for each one of us. The Lord wants to use the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wants to empower us. He wants to do wondrous things in our lives. But we must be ready. We must be prepared. We must be open. You know, there's a hymn we see, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things," or I forget the word, maybe it's not wondrous, but "wonderful things thou hast for me." We need to have our eyes open to see how the Spirit is moving, and to feel the wind, especially to feel the wind at our backs, that he's moving us along in the right direction. But that's how we lift our sails, to catch the wind. The wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing, whether we see it or not, whether we feel it or not, whether we're part of it or not. Because God is moving in the world. He's preparing for the return of Jesus. It may not seem like it, but all the things that are happening is preparation for his return, to set the world aright, to establish his kingdom on earth. A kingdom of righteousness. And all these terrible things that we see and read about and hear about, it's just a prelude to his coming for the true believers. Pentecost was a wonderful time. Nothing like that had ever happened before. And the disciples, who became the apostles, were filled with the Spirit and were sent out by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do all sorts of wonderful miracles. You can read all about them in the book of Acts. Wondrous things. Too many people think that time is over, that God doesn't do those things anymore. But he does. We might be in a lull, so to speak. But as I read Scripture, I see that God says that there'll be signs and wonders, there'll be miracles, there'll be all sorts of things happening in the last days in preparation for Jesus' return. We're going to see those things happen again. The unfortunate thing is Satan is going to try and counterfeit them to lead God's people astray, just like he always does. But there are wonderful things that God is going to do through his people. There will be miracles and signs and wonders occurring. Things that we've never dreamed of happening. Because that's who God is. It's going to happen. The only question is, how many of us are going to be part of it? How many of us are going to be willing to be used of him to lay hands on someone and heal them? To cast out a demon? To perform a miracle of some sort? That's one of God's promises. That's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, to empower people. We need to lift up our sails and catch that wind. We need to observe, to have our eyes open, to desire that, to desire to be a part of it, to voice that desire to God, and to be open, that no matter where it takes us, we're willing. Because it's all going to be for God's glory, and we're going to be blessed by it. We need to be prepared. That time is coming. Don't know when. But as I understand Scripture, that time is coming. And it's not too far down the road. So, it's left up to us. Even now, the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing. Even now. It's time for us to lift our sails and be part of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's so much that we have yet to understand. So much that we have yet to relearn, because we've been told from time past that you don't do things like that anymore. What occurred in the book of Acts. We've been told a lot of things, Lord. But your word also says, and specifically referring to Jesus, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are a miracle-working God. You are a loving God. And the way that you choose to work in the world is through your people. You don't need us. We need you, Lord. We need to abide in the vine. We need to be one with you. We need to be willing, Lord, to be your servants, to be your instruments for your glory. There's great reward with that. We have the promise of many good things, Lord, to follow. Help us, Father, to be open. Help us to believe. Help us to trust you, no matter what. And help us, Lord, to catch the wind of your Holy Spirit in our sails, that we might be carried along by him to do wondrous things along the way, to see miracles, to see blessings, to see people saved, just like it was back then, Lord. It's going to be like that again. Help us to be part of it. Make this congregation, cause this congregation, Lord, to be part of it. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.